Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad to have you here. We're glad you did that. If you're staying with us from the previous segment, we really appreciate that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And someone else that we consider to be highly intelligent is our good friend Ed Yordan. Ed's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's been a member of our Brain Trust since way back into the last century. And he's the author of many books on technology. His new book is called Outsource. And as I say, he's one of the top technology minds on the planet, and one of the big thinkers when it comes to technology. Spending a lot of time these days on what's called Web 2.0. Ed Yordan, welcome back to the show.
Oh, glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, Ed. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is what you think technology can do to sort of ameliorate or minimize the negative impact of the high cost of travel. And you know, there are some people who think that many people think that, you know, that the price of transportation, the price of moving ourselves around these days is something we're going to have to be living with for a while. And what do you think, how do you see technology sort of dovetailing in with all of that and people using it to find ways to minimize that impact?
Well, one thing that we're beginning to see more and more of these days is the use of video conferencing instead of people getting on airplanes to fly across the country to go to a conference. But on an even larger scale, I think this whole notion of telecommuting, which has been around for a long time, is going to get another boost. And particularly because people are beginning to realize it doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing proposition. You know, people
right.
can work at home one day a week or two mornings a week or whatever makes sense. But at the very least avoid some of the traffic congestion and hopefully even cut down on their actual usage of oil and gasoline to drive to work.
Let's talk about the video conferencing thing. You know, and both of those topics, Ed, after 9-1-1, immediately after 9-1-1, I started talking about those two things on this show quite a bit. I started, you know, I remember when... Right after 9-1-1, a fire chief, a New York fire chief, was being interviewed, and he said, the interviewer said, should we rebuild these buildings? And the guy thought for a couple of seconds, very thoughtfully said, who would occupy them?
A lot of talk about that, especially here in New York City where I live. You know, why expose yourself to even more risk by putting 50,000 people in one big, tall building, which just makes them that much more of an inviting target, when in fact you can spread them out, you know, wherever they happen to live in a wider geographical area.
Well,
and
then
let them collaborate and communicate through the internet for at least part of their working time. They still need to come to the office, you know, from time to time for good old fashioned face to face
right
interactions, but not every single day.
Well, and the thing that I imagine happening, and I think wound up happening, was, you know, a year later or so, the boss calls and said, okay, we got your office ready. You know, bring your laptop and come to work. And the guy said, why should I? We've been doing fine for a year. You know, I'm out here in New Jersey now or wherever, in Connecticut or Long Island or wherever, and, you know, I'm happy here. And I see that's one of the things. And of course, back then, if you remember, you know, we didn't have the proliferation of broadband like we do now.
That's a huge change. These days, an awful lot of people have better computers at home than they do in the office. You know,
that's
they've
right.
got their own laptop, desktop set up, and laser printer, and so they've got really everything they need. You know, there are some classical problems that are never going to go away about security and privacy and kind of the old-fashioned emotional concern the managers have that if they can't actually watch their workers,
right.
then they're going to be goofing off. But I think people are gradually beginning to realize that it does work, at least on basis, and really even before broadband, that has been true. You know, I started using telecommuting for the people in my own consulting firm back in the late 70s, early 80s, when the first oil bump occurred, and it really does work.
Well, I was a telecommuter for Xerox back in the 70s. Believe it or not, I worked out of my own office, out of my house. I managed a half of a state almost for Xerox, back in those days, and it worked just fine. I mean, I was one of the lead salespeople year after year after year, and so it works, and so we've got the telecommuting, folks, but then we also have the teleconferencing. This is a big deal, and here's some ideas that. You might want to consider. We're going to talk about some technology, and I'm going to bring up some pricing, too, for some of this new stuff. And we'll come back after these messages with our good friend Ed Yordan, and he's going to talk to us some more in a little bit about more Web 2.0. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. There's the birds bringing us back. A song from the right out of Ecclesiastes. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use it to your advantage. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things we do here, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the second one is our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. And you can find Ed Yordan. He's got a body of work at smallbusinessadvocate.com that he's deposited his wisdom with us over the years. And Ed's our good friend, the author of many books on technology. The last one is called Outsource. Ed, tell us where we can find you and how we can find your books.
My website is at yordan.com. That's Y-O-U-R-D-O-N. .com, and I've also got a blog at yordanreport.com, and if you go there, you can also find a list of all the books that I've written.
So check those out, folks. Ed is, by the way, folks, Ed's one of the world's recognized top experts in technology. Hall of Fame, too, right, Ed?
Yeah, the Computer
Technology
Hall of Fame.
After they let you in, they let Bill Gates in, I heard. I think that's what happened. If we have time, we'll talk about that in a minute. But before we do, I want to get back to where we were on this use of technology for our current times. Ed, for security purposes, after 9/11, we were talking about teleworking and everything. But I also started talking about teleconferencing, and I back then, of course, you're way ahead of me. But I, in my own way, I was saying on this show, folks, if some of you may remember me telling you back in '98 when broadband, big pipe connections becomes diffused around the country, around the world, our world will change, and that's what's happening right now. But now after 9/11, Ed, I said for security reasons, I said that technology through video conferencing would be the biggest enemy of airlines, not terrorists. But now I think the teleconferencing options is really raising its head again, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Not because of terrorism, but because of the price of airline tickets.
Well, and also because the technology has improved that much more since you first started recommending it almost 10 years ago. So that if you want to make a sales presentation or, say, an in-house training session for some of your salespeople in all your regional offices, you don't have to get them all together. There are any number of services on the Internet now, some of which are free, so that you can put on a presentation with a PowerPoint slideshow or a video show with somebody actually in front of a camera. And it's not quite the same as actually being there face-to-face with people, but it gets you 90% of the way there for almost no cost.
But also they've got there are boxes now, $2,000-$3,000. You can have a really handy dandy box sitting on your desk with a screen and a mic and everything that you hook up to the IP your pipes and you and whoever has one on the other end just like it or similar to it can look at each other and have a conversation as if you were across the desk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Macintosh fanatic, and we've been able to do that for quite a few years now.
Yep.
iChat. So I think that is going to get just that much more popular now with the cost of travel. Not only the cost, but just the inconvenience of travel getting more and more significant as time goes on.
Well, yeah, I think that's going to be what I thought would happen more because of security, because of terrorism, is probably going to be driven now more by economics, isn't it?
Yeah, by economics.
A combination, really.
Yeah, I think so. Economics and also convenience. I mean, it's just a pain in the neck to travel these days. Not only expensive, but just annoying and frustrating and unpredictable, because you never know if your flight's going to be canceled or delayed or whatever.
Right. What are some other things that that you recommend for the current issues we're up against where technology can help us?
Well, I think you gave some examples with your own website. This notion of letting your employees, your customers, and other people outside the company boundary collaborate and contribute their ideas and knowledge and so forth in various websites or wikis or blogs.
That's very 2.0, isn't it?
It is, and it's starting to catch on. Not only in small companies, which tend to be less bureaucratic to begin with, but even in some big companies like IBM, where we're saying, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are very passionate about our products and services and would love to help, would love to contribute their ideas for troubleshooting or suggestions for the next generation of products. Why not give them a forum to do so? Now, that threatens a lot of, you know, traditional kind of
thinking. Because you know what lawyers will tell you, never ask a question of a witness if you don't already know the answer. You know, once you get their answer, you know, what are you going to do with it?
Well, that's true. On the other hand, they're going to go ahead and do it anyway, and that's what a lot of people are beginning to realize, is that, you know, people can form their own websites and say negative things about your company if you don't kind of draw them in and make them part of the family, so to speak. You know, there's that old saying of, you know, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Right.
So that's
part of 2.0 is
in government as well. Why not provide a mechanism for citizens to contribute their ideas and suggestions and so forth to government, rather than depending on bureaucracies?
And is that just a simple use of a blog?
Yeah. There's a wonderful one here in New York City called CleverCommute.com. where people have started contributing information about which of the buses and trains are running behind schedule, so that before you make a commitment to head to Penn Station, you can find out whether you perhaps ought to find alternative travel.
Very interesting. Hold on to that thought, Ed. Ed Yorden, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He and I will be right back. More to come after these messages. Tintel, stay with us.
She's got it. Yeah, baby. Come, and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ed Yorden, and that's Yorden, YOURDON.com, his website, where you can find all the things that he does, including the list of his books, which are outstanding. Outsource is the last book he wrote. And Ed, give us the address of the blog again, please.
That's Yorden Report, all one word, YordanReport.com.
Report.com, so check that out too, folks. Ed, look into your crystal ball and tell us where you see 2.0 taking us into the future, and maybe even what 3.0 might look like.
Well, the most common phrase that you'll hear people using for Web 3.0, the next generation of the web, is something called the semantic web, the smart web, an internet/web that knows what information you want to see and offers it to you, rather than you're having to go look for it. And one of the most phenomenal things that we've all gotten in the last 10 years is Google, so that we have a smart way of asking where something might be on the internet, but we still have to initiate it. And, you know, the web is still kind of stupid in the sense that it doesn't really know how different pieces of information are connected together. So I think the next generation is going to be the smart web that says, you know, I'll bet that Jim Blassingame would be interested in this piece of information.
But where will that be? Where will that generate? But where will that generate from?
I'm sorry?
Will that be a service that I pay somebody and I tell them what my interests are, and then they start shooting me things?
Well, it'll probably be free. It'll come along with a little bit of advertising. You know, while you're out of money, buy a Coke, you know. That does seem to be the prevalent business model these days, is to offer something basically free and then maybe a premium service for a little bit more money.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to stay with us.
Well, which brings me to a point. You know, there's been this perennial debate over how to create a business model online. Is it better to use an ad platform, or is it better to, you know, that's basically what we do. We have an ad platform because people don't pay anything. Well, of course, our ad platform is pretty low key. We don't, we're not obnoxious. We don't stick it in anybody's face. It's just there. But some ad platforms are pretty obnoxious. But that's our platform, and others are the premium service where people pay a fee for this information. And some people have been successful with that. What do you think is going to be the long term situation?
Well, I think it's going to continue being a mix because there are some services that are valuable enough to, you know, a small part of the marketplace that has the money and sees the value that they will pay for it. But for any of these services or internet platforms that want to reach a broad marketplace, it's going to have to be free, and they're going to have to depend on advertising, or maybe there's something else that will come after advertising. I don't know what else you can offer people that.
It's going to have to do with connection.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I've been trying to get my folks to understand is, and all the people I talk to, and when I speak to groups, when I consult with big companies about reaching small business owners, for example. You know, I went to a conference a month or so ago, and it was all about marketing to small business owners. And of course, the stipulation was that one day you would sell them something after you market them. But nobody ever, during the whole conference, I was the only one who talked about connection.
Connection and relationships. You know?
Yes, I said, folks, and I was on a panel, and I said, folks, you know, you're going to have to market to these guys, and you're not going to stop doing that. But I said, more and more, if you want to reach small business owners, you can't just market to them. You can't just give them a sales pitch. You got to build a connection with them. They want to be connected with. And I think that's part of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, it's often described in terms of community. They want to feel that they are connected to other people, that they're part of something that's meaningful, whether it involves their hobby or their business or their politics or religion or whatever.
Right.
That's the important thing.
Yeah, but connection, in my opinion, Ed, doesn't have to mean that you've got to be in their community. I think it means that you speak their language, which is kind of what you were talking about. I bet that Blasting Game would like to have this, meaning you're speaking my language.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and I think you're going to see a much richer form of that when Web 3.0 comes along in the next few years.
And folks, the thing is, what Ed's talking about is automating it. There's no reason why you can't do it now manually. All this stuff Ed's talking about, you can do manually right now. What Ed's talking about is in the future, you might have the technology that will do it for you. But in the meantime, start doing it manually. Ed, give us your website again, please.
It's Yordan.com, YOURDON.com.
And Yordan Reports, or is it Report? Singular?
Yordan Report. Yeah,
Report.
It's a blog.
YordanReport.com. Hey, Ed, thanks for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks.
We'll see you next time. Ed Yordan,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Can't do without him. He's been with us too long. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.